Blog Talk Radio.
Don't listen to your Islamic coworkers and neighbors.
these are all a bunch of liars because Islam allows you to lie. It's not like Christian religions where lying is forbidden. Lying is condoned, approved, and encouraged in Islam. Let's go through Islam 101 and learn about Islam. You should know about the diaper head next door. Oh, does that offend you? Tough shit. Life's tough. Get a helmet. Stick around. Learn something. You're Christian? You believe Muslims are your brothers? Well, Cain killed Abel. Pay attention, folks. Life's rough. Gets rougher when you're stupid. You know what the difference is between being stupid and dead? Nothing. When you're stupid or when you're dead, it doesn't matter. It only matters to the living. Because when you're dead, the only people that notice are the living. When you're stupid, the only people that notice are the living. You don't notice when you're dead because you're dead. When you're stupid, you don't notice because you're stupid. The living are the only that notice. So if you're alive and stupid, you're just a pain in the ass to the living around you. So don't be stupid. Pay attention and learn something. Because if you're liberal and stupid, or if you're conservative and stupid, that makes you even worse. Wake up, pay attention, follow along, look at the birdie, come with me. I need you to pay attention. This could save lives. And even if it won't save your life, it might save mine. And frankly, I don't know most of you. So, if it'll save mine, hoorah. So we're going to start with the five pillars of Islam, which are not the five pillars that SEIU put in their recent publication, covering up for Islam and kissing Islam's ass, because SEIU is a communist organization that's in bed with Islam, and SEIU can quote me and suck my anus. The five pillars of Islam constitute the most basic tenets of the religion, and they are faith, the iman, faith, and the oneness of Allah, and the finality of the prophethood of Muhammad, indicated declaration of the Shahada that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That's the first pillar. Faith. Faith being the imam who says what things shall be. Faith in the oneness of Allah and the finality of the prophethood of Muhammad, indicated by the declaration of the Shahada that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Except Muhammad was a bipolar, schizophrenic, pedophiliac, but we'll get into that later. Second pillar, keeping of the five scheduled daily prayers. Third, almsgiving, also called zakat. Fourth, fasting. And fifth, pilgrimage, the Hajj, to Mecca, for those who are able, meaning everybody, because you're able. The five pillars in and of themselves do not tell us a lot about the faith or what a Muslim is supposed to believe or how he should act. The second through fifth pillars, prayer, almsgiving, fasting, pilgrimage, are aspects shared by many religions. The finality of the prophethood of Muhammad, however, is unique to Islam. To understand Islam and what it means to be a Muslim, we must understand Muhammad as well as the revelations given through him by Allah, which make up the Quran. Because herein lies the rub in Islam. And this, my friends, is where it all ties together. So stay with me, brothers and sisters, because this is where it gets dicey. And remember, the chat room is open for you and for me. Throw your questions out there if you have any. But wake up, brothers and sisters, for we are about to go down the rabbit hole, slide through the wormhole of life, and enter into the Quran zone, the Book of Allah, that magical creature, that mystical wonder that the schizophrenic Muhammad created. According to Islamic teaching, the Quran came down as a series of revelations from Allah through the Archangel Gabriel to the Prophet Muhammad. Now, those of you who have read the Bible know who the Archangel Gabriel is. I'll say it again. According to Islamic teaching, the Quran came down as a series of revelations from Allah through the Archangel Gabriel to the Prophet Muhammad, who then dictated it to his followers. Muhammad's companions memorized fragments of the Quran and wrote them down on whatever was at hand, which were later compiled into book form under the rule of the third caliph, Uthman, some years after Muhammad's death. The Quran is about as long as the Christian New Testament. It comprises 114 surahs, not to be confused with a sirah, which refers to the life of the prophet, of varying lengths, which may be considered chapters. According to Islamic doctrine, it was around 610 AD in a cave near the city of Mecca, now in southwest Saudi Arabia, that Muhammad received the first revelation from Allah by way of the Archangel Gabriel. Now, it must be noted that Muhammad was getting these revelations from an archangel. Keep that in mind as we go forward. The revelation merely commanded Muhammad to recite or read Surah 96. The words he was instructed to utter were not his own, but Allah's. Over the next 12 or so years in Mecca, other revelations came to Muhammad that constituted a message to the inhabitants of the city to forsake their pagan ways and turn in worship to the one Allah. While in Mecca, though he condemned the paganism for the most part, Muhammad showed great respect for the monotheism of the Christian and Jewish inhabitants. Indeed, the Allah of the Quran claimed to be the same God worshipped by Jews and Christians, who now revealed himself to the Arab people through his chosen messenger, Muhammad. It is the Quranic revelations that came later in Muhammad's career, after he and the first Muslims left Mecca for the city of Medina, that transformed Islam from a relatively benign form of monotheism into an expansionary military political ideology that is a pain in the ass to this day. Orthodox Islam does not accept that a rendering of the Quran into another language is a translation in the way that, say, King James Bible is a translation of the original Hebrew and Greek scriptures, a point often made by Islamic apologists to defang criticism is that only Arabic readers can understand the Quran. But Arabic is a language like any other and fully capable of translation. Indeed, most Muslims are not Arabic readers, because most Muslims are not readers. All explanations that will follow over the next several episodes are and have been translated by Arabic scholars. The Westerners who managed to pick up a translation of the Quran are often left bewildered as to its meaning, thanks to ignorance of a critically important principle of Quranic interpretation known as abrogation. Abrogation is a principle, meaning abrogating and abrogated, which directs at verses revealed later in Muhammad's career to abrogate, cancel, and replace the earlier ones whose instructions they contradict. Thus, passages revealed later in Muhammad's career in Medina overrule passages revealed earlier in Mecca. The Quran itself lays out the principle of aggregation. In 2.106, whatever a verse, meaning revelation, do we, Allah, abrogate or cause to be forgotten, we bring a better one or similar to it. Know you not that Allah is able to do all things? Let me read that one to you again. Whatever a verse or revelation do we, Allah, abrogate or cause to be forgotten, we bring a better one or similar to it. Know you not that Allah is able to do all things? Now let that sink in for a moment. Allah is speaking in the multiple we. Muhammad is alleged schizophrenic. Very interesting. Allegedly, this came down from the Archangel Gabriel. Archangel, thrown out of heaven, Satan, Muhammad, Allah, lot of voices in this head. And we're using the term we. And when he was in Mecca, he didn't have an army. He didn't have a force. He was pretty peaceful because, well, he had gotten his ass kick. So, you know, cheerio, pretty chill. But now that he's over in Medina and he's got some forces, well, now he's going to be a force. It seems that Surah 2:106 was revealed in response to skepticism directed at Muhammad that Allah's revelations were not consistent over time. Ha-ha! Muhammad's rebuttal that was Allah is able to do all things. Basically, Muhammad said, sit down and shut the fuck up. But he said it nicer. He said Allah is able to do all things, even change his mind. To confuse matters further, though, the Quran was revealed to Muhammad sequentially over some 20 years' time. It was not compiled in chronological order, however. When the Quran was finally collated into book form under Caliph Uthman, the surahs were ordered from longest to shortest, with no connection whatever to the order in which they were revealed or to their thematic content, in order to find out what the Quran says on a given topic. Why? Because Muslims are inbred and functionally illiterate. It is necessary to examine other Islamic sources that give us clues as to when in Muhammad's lifetime the revelations occurred. Upon such examination, one discovers that the Meccan surahs, revealed at a time when the Muslims were vulnerable, a.k.a. not armed up, not many in numbers, not fierce and warrior-like, that they are generally benign. The later Medinan surahs, revealed after Muhammad had made himself the head of an army, that they are bellicose, warrior-like, and ready to whoop some ass. Let us take, for example, 5045 and Surah 109, both revealed in Mecca. 5045, we know of best what they say, and you, O Muhammad, are not a tyrant over them to force them to believe, but warn by the Quran him who fears my threat. 109.1, say, O Muhammad, to these Mushrikun and Kafirun, O Al-Kafirun, disbelievers in Allah, in his oneness, in his angels, in his books, in his messengers, in the day of resurrection, and in Al-Qadar, divine foreordainment and sustaining of all things. I worship not that which you worship, nor will you worship that which I worship. And I shall not worship that which you are worshiping, nor will you worship that which I worship. To you be your religion, and to me my religion, being Islamic monotheism. Then there is this passage revealed just after the Muslims reached Medina and were still vulnerable. There is no compulsion in religion. Verily, the right path has become from the wrong path. Whoever disbelieves in taghut, which is idolatry, and believes in Allah, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break, and Allah is all-hearer and all-knower. But in contrast, take 9:5, commonly referred to as the verse of the sword, revealed towards the end of Muhammad's life. And this is important, my liberal douchebaggery friends, because the verse of the sword is the verse that all of Islam operates under today, even your kind little neighbors who say that they are just peaceful Muslims, for they are just sleeping and waiting to wake up. In contrast, take 9:5, commonly referred to as the verse of the sword, revealed towards the end of Muhammad's life. 9:5, when the sacred months, the first, 7th, 11th, and 12th months of the Islamic calendar have passed, then kill the mushrikun, the unbelievers, wherever you find them, and capture them, and besiege them, and prepare them each and every ambush. But if they repent and perform al-salat, ikamet as-salat, the Islamic ritual prayers and give zakat, alms, then leave them their way free. Verily, Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Meaning, if they convert to Islam and pay the poll tax, we will leave them be. Having been revealed later in Muhammad's life than 5045, 109, and 256, the verse of the sword abrogates their peaceful injunctions in accordance with 2106. Surah 8, revealed shortly before Surah 9, reveals a similar theme. And fight them until there is no more fitna, which is disbelief in polytheism, i.e. worshiping others besides Allah. And the religion will all be for Allah alone in the whole of the world. But if they cease worshiping others besides Allah, then certainly Allah is the all-seer of what they do. It is not for a prophet that he should have prisoners of war and free them with ransom until he had made a great slaughter among his enemies in the land. You desire the good of this world, i.e. the money of ransom for freeing the captive. But Allah desires for you the hereafter, and Allah is Almighty, Almighty and All-Wise. Fight against those who believe not in Allah, nor in the last day, nor forbid that which has been forbidden by Allah and His Messenger, and those who acknowledge not the religion of truth, being Islam, among the people of the Scripture, the Jews and the Christians, until they pay the jizya with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. It is He, Allah, who has sent His Messenger Muhammad with guidance and the religion of truth, Islam, to make it superior over all religions, even though the mushrikun, the polytheists, pagans, idolaters, disbelievers in the oneness of Allah, hate it. The Quran's commandments to Muslims to wage war in the name of Allah against non-Muslims are unmistakable. They are furthermore absolutely authoritative, as if they were revealed late in the Prophet's career, and so cancel and replace earlier instructions to act peaceably. Without knowledge of the principle of abrogation, Westerners will continue to misread the Quran and misdiagnose Islam as a religion of peace. Any other sentiment towards Islam is foolhardy. We must start all discussions about Islam centered on one thought. Islam is not peaceful. They are here to take over the world, kill you, and to kill me. If I don't know you, I'm not so worried about you as I am me. But you need to be concerned about you and yours, and in so doing, it will help me worry about me and mine. Get your shit together before the world is on fire. Come back Thursday as we start to talk about the Sunnah, the way of the Prophet Muhammad, and as we gear up towards our special guest, the 12th Imam, who will join us in part 3 next week, because we have the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, coming to join us. God bless the free people of the world. May piss be upon Islam.
tablespoons of cinnamon and two or three egg whites, a half a stick of butter melted. Stick it all in a bowl, baby. Stir it with a wooden spoon. Mix in a cup of flour. You'll be in heaven soon. Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick-me-up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Ooh, suck on my chocolate salted balls. Stick them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of vitamins and good for you. So suck on my balls.